I want you to read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1 and 3.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
You know, we talked about Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and all those men that lived, walked by faith. But one of the things that they did and that we have to do is we have to give God permission to invade our space. And what that means is we've got to give God the permission to do with us what he wants. And we talked about the difference between the sovereignty of God and the providence of God. And the providence of God is God leads his kids. He directs. He intervenes. And in the providence of God, there's miracles. There's the things that happen that goes on. We shared last week that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 15, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them, and he rose again. You know, as we shared last week, but this is the opposite of ungoverned desires. You know, sometimes, like Esau, he lost his inheritance, it said, because of ungoverned desires. What is ungoverned desires? I want what I want, and I want it now. Have any of us ever been in that state? I want what I want. And God, I want it right now. But in the scripture of Corinthians, if we live in him, if we live in him, he died for us and we die with him. We're in him, amen? It's all about him. And we allow him to direct us. Him direct us. I want Wanda to read the Galatians, I think it was the Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 16. Through 21, and then we'll go on to, when you get through with those verses, then you just go on with the rest of the verses following, because that's the first part is the works of the flesh.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
You know, as we read those, you know, as I read that scripture sometimes, and then we just read the scripture that the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry. You know, those are easy to say we don't do those things. You know, those are really out there, so to speak. But then it says, contentious, jealousy. You know, you can do those things and nobody can see you. Dissensions, envy. You know, I can be envious of people and no one really knows I'm envious of them. Amen? So, you know, it just, as I read those scriptures sometimes, I say, oh God. And we sing the let your fire fall. God, let your fire fall and burn up all the junk in me. Amen? Praise God. But what does it say? That shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? We talked about it last week. We've talked about it a lot. The kingdom of God is the government of God. Him ruling us. Being in his government. And part of his government is his protection. You know, the government is to protect, amen? It's to guide us and direct us. Now, I want to read verses 22 through 26.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit of God. Letting the fruit of the Spirit flow out of us and be us. Amen? Praise God. And we talked about last week that ownership, when I take ownership of something, that ownership is a force in the earth. And when I have ownership, I defend it. I defend that ownership. And ownership brings intimidation. And, you know, it becomes religious. Becomes religious. We think we own something. I own the church. own these people. As we talked about last week with David and Goliath, Goliath owned that whole valley because he was the giant. Amen? And David faced the giant and killed the giant. And we need to kill the giant in our lives of ownership. Amen? You know, we talked about road rage. In other words, I own this highway. Get out of my way and I'm driving. That's what road rage is. I own it. We joke about it, but in church, that's my seat. You know, I used my father last week. I used him as an example because every Sunday morning that he was in, that we were in town, and he was there, we were at the church. We went to the Episcopal church every Sunday morning in the same pew, the same spot. Well, I wasn't because I was an altar boy, but mom, daddy and mama, my sister, my grandmother, in the same spot every Sunday morning. Wasn't that right, Nan? And if somebody dared come early and sat in that pew, when he got there, but then the stranger was asked to get up and move. Yeah, that was his pew. You got your name on yours, don't you, Wanda? Oh, y'all move around so they're all right, huh? No, it doesn't make any difference that you sit in the same spot every Sunday, but what happens when somebody comes early and sits you in your chair?
Just move over.
So we got to know what to do, amen? We say, oh, how blessed you are, and go find another chair. But we've got to kill the spirit of ownership. Why should we kill the spirit of ownership? Because God loves me. His choice for me. He sets his love on me and he chose me. I'm his. We're his. Amen? So how do we give God permission to enter our space, to be living in the providence of God? God is wanting us to allow him to enter our space. And as we, the endless, we talked about it, water baptism is one way that we do that. When we see all this, when we see what water baptism is, water baptism is actuality, is the most violent act against ourselves. When I got baptized in water, I said, I'm buried to everything. Buried to everything. Do we know what everything is? Everything is everything. And when we say, we can't say, not this and not that. Everything. So I'm buried to everything. But when we come out of the water, look in Romans the 6th chapter, verse 4. When we come out of the water, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. When we're baptized, we come out of the water, out of the grave. The water in baptism is like the grave under new ownership. Praise God. Oswald Chambers had a definition for sin. Sin is a non-negotiable right to myself. The manifestation of, you just think about this when you're out in the world and get around people. This doesn't apply to any of us, amen? But the manifestations of non-negotiable right to myself is called alcohol, sex, weirdness, contention, self-righteousness. Uh-oh. I know some Christians that can get self-righteous. Amen? That's what sin is. This is ownership, when I take ownership of something. God says we're not our own. We're not our own. We belong to Him. But when you cross non-negotiable right to myself, what do we see? Anger, hatred, and self-righteous, like I said. But when the kingdom of God says that this non-negotiable right to myself is buried in water, it brings us up to be a non-negotiable servant of the Father's will. Praise God. So when we're baptized in water, when we come out of the water, we enter into a non-negotiable servant of the Father's will. So what we need to do is we need to remember what happened when we were baptized. Sometimes we need to go back and remember it. You know, in the Jewish, even in the New Testament, but the Jews, they would come and they would get rebaptized. They would get baptized over and over again, because every time they saw when something happened and they started sinning and they were convicted, they were baptized so that thing stayed buried in the grave. I'm not saying we all need to go get rebaptized every week or so, but we need to remember. Amen? We need to remember. Ownership is foundationalism. What is foundationalism? I was born religious. In other words, it was being a Baptist, being Episcopalian, being a Methodist, being a Catholic. You know, that's mine. I own it. I own the church. But when we're baptized in water, it's all gone. Amen? Jesus says, he said he never instructed to preach church. We're to preach the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. How did Jesus teach the disciples and that became the apostles to preach the kingdom? I think it was basically three steps: to disciple, to baptize, and to teach. Remember in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, Peter discipled the people, shared with them and discipled them and talked to them and taught them, and discipled them, and they asked, what must we do? What must we do to ask God to come into our space? Remember when in Acts 8, the eunuch, as he was riding in the chariot, he was taught, told him about what he was doing. What did he do? He wanted to get baptized to give God the right to his face. You know, how do we disciple somebody? We support. We talk to them. We share with them. And we don't force ourselves to get into their space. We let them ask us to get into their space. Mm-hmm. Ooh. You know, there's been times when I went and I was telling people and I said, you got to do this. And it's got to be this way or the highway. And we got to have empathy. Jesus imparted his identity. He identified with the hurting, and we need to identify with the hurting. We need to share with them. Then we need to share with them truth of the person of Christ as it applies to life. Baptized into Christ as an act of violence against myself. You need to go home and you need to read Romans the 6th chapter, the 7th chapter, and the 8th chapter. Those are chapters of the Bible, of the Word, that we need to read every now and then. We need to, you know, we say, oh, we know all that. No, we need to refresh it. We need to go over it. Paul, in these scriptures in Romans, he was telling the Roman church, the people in Rome, the church in Rome, that you have given God permission to take you into death. That's what baptism is. To take you into death. And when you come out, it's resurrection time. We're changed into him. Amen? If we're buried with him, we shall be raised with him. You know, we need to remember that in immersion into water, everything that God doesn't like about me was buried. And everything I needed, immersed, when I was raised, he gave me. Buried the old, raised up in the new. Praise God. Wow. And then we can say to God, now you have permission. You have permission to get in my space. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Not about me. Not about what I want. When the kingdom comes, it always demands response. What do we call that? Repentance. Repentance is a movement from here to there. From here to there. Every time the kingdom comes, it challenges the non-negotiable rights to myself. When his kingdom comes, my kingdom ends. Amen? Repentance is an act of violence against myself, not words that are repeated. I mean, when we repent, we turn around and go the other way. Amen? So in reality, it's an act of violence against myself. So as we shared and we talked about and we And we continue to talk. Going down into water baptism is violent. It is death. In other words, it's being buried. And every right, every privilege, everything I ever thought I knew, I give to him. Be renewed by the renewing of the mind. Repentance, acknowledging God's sovereignty and providence over me. Wanda, read Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Renewing of our minds to prove what is the will of God. What is the will of God? It's the expression of the kingdom. It's the realm of God's kingdom, so that I might demonstrate what the renewal of the mind is. God's tool to make us into a demonstrator of the kingdom. We ask, prove the will of God. You know, the best scripture that talks about the will of God is Matthew, the 6th chapter, the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is written. This is the expressed will of God. That he would have a group of people delegated, selected by him, that would represent him properly for the expression of his dominion. That we become, we realize and felt, we see it, it's experienced. That is the privilege of every believer to manifest the dominion of the Lord. Here is the will of God for us, that we would be transformed in our mind. It's not mind over matter, but the mind is transformed through the Spirit. As we follow him, as we're led by him, we're transformed. We're transformed. His purpose for us is to have that kind of a renewing of the way we think, is because he intended to find a group of people, to raise up a delegated group of people who would co-labor with him, who would illustrate, demonstrate, manifest, and prove and attest to the will of God. That's what he's seeking. That's what we're supposed to be, is that group of people that would illustrate, demonstrate, manifest, and prove and attest to the will of God here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, this is really the backbone of the Great Commission. The backbone of the Great Commission was God's intended to equip us, to equip a group of people to demonstrate the reality of heaven here on earth. We're supposed to be living and under the direction of heaven here on earth. You know, that's quite an order. Quite something that he's wanting us to be. That is the privilege of every believer, to bring heaven to earth. Praise God. You know, the spirit man has ears and he receives from the Spirit of God. The natural man has ears and he receives from every other source. It's when the natural man is in charge when things go haywire. You know, so much of the churches today, they've learned to do church without God. But Colossians, the third chapter, says we're citizens of heaven, living from heaven toward earth. We're citizens of heaven and we're seated with him in the heavenly places. Praise God. Just think about it. You're seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. So the real spirit-filled life is living from heaven to earth. Living from the authority we have in Christ and who he is toward the circumstances of life. You know, when the mind is renewed, really renewed, the impossible becomes logical. The impossible becomes logical. How many times have we seen the impossible become logical? How many times have we seen the impossible happen? You know, the impossible. Ruth had cancer, but she didn't have it anymore. Amen. Wanda had cancer, but she didn't have it anymore. Amen. The impossible, that becomes logical. God, the healer, did it. Amen. And he's restoring. So as we close this morning, we need to say, let your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, and your will be done. You know, we need to pray that the Lord's Prayer. I don't remember how old I was when I started praying every night the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not saying every night, but a whole bunch of nights I still do it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. I mean, every time I really stop and really think about it or meditate about it when we pray, if we all really, really prayed and really, really believed, your kingdom come here on earth, my life, in my family's life, as it is in heaven. Whoa, what a different world we'd be in. Amen. What a different world we would be in. So, Father, we thank you this morning. And, Lord, as we close this morning, well, we don't forget. We do pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will come in my life, in my family's life, in our church, in our communities, in our state. And oh yes, Lord, in this nation, that your will be done. Lord, let your fire fall. Let your glory fall, that we would see your will being done in our nation, and that we would be a people again that would be saying we're one nation under God. And Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. Amen and amen. Praise God.